Over the weekend in the NFL, Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck made a surprising announcement.
This certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life.
Luck said an unrelenting cycle of injuries and rehab was behind his move to step away from the game at the age of 29. But as he left the Colts stadium during a preseason game on Saturday, some fans were less than appreciative of their star player. Luck isn't the first professional football player to leave the sport in his prime, but he is one of the most high-profile in recent memory, and his decision comes amid growing concerns about the long-term consequences of playing football. Luck's departure has also put a spotlight on how the NFL recruits and retains its top players. I'm joined by award-winning journalist and author of Friday Night Lights, Buzz Bissinger, and also joining us is Joshua Perry, a former NFL linebacker who played with the San Diego Chargers and the Indianapolis Colts before retiring in 2018 at the age of 24. Buzz, Joshua, welcome to The Takeaway.
Glad to be here.
Buzz, let's start with you. What was your immediate reaction when you heard Andrew Luck was retiring?
Well, I know everyone thinks that the sky is falling, but you know the guy has had an incredible series of injuries in the 6 years that he's played, including a lacerated kidney, a partially torn abdomen, torn cartilage in his ribs, torn labrum, and now he has this latest calf and ankle injury. He's beat up. He's been in constant rehab. He was urinating blood, and I think he said, enough's enough. I'm not enjoying the game. I'm scared of getting hurt again. I don't want to have to rehab. He did miss a year, and he had the sanity to say, that's it. I'm done. Now, does it foreshadow what's going to happen with other athletes? I don't know, but I commend him because many players play way too long. We can find isolated examples of those who did not, like Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson, but Luck said, I'm done. And, you know, I think it's great that he knew it then and knows it now and will move on with his life. Of course, there is the chance that, you know, he may come back. People retire and then miss the game so much that they do come back.
Joshua, you played with the Colts, Andrew Luck's team, during your time in the NFL, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But I'm wondering, how aware were you of Luck's struggles with his injuries?
I think the big thing was you could see the struggle with his rehab. I was there in 2017. That was the year he was out with the shoulder injury. And I think just staying engaged with the game is hard for anybody who's hurt. And now he was always a great teammate, and he was somebody who was supportive. But you could see his want to get out on the field. You could see how he wanted his shoulder to, you know, get better. And there was a time where they thought he was on track, and then he ended up going overseas to Europe for treatment because he wasn't coming along as quickly as he wanted to. And I think that's kind of the hard thing with every athlete. You know, injury is always one of the hardest parts of the game because you enjoy being out there, you enjoy supporting your teammates. But when you can't get back on a specific timeline and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, oftentimes it becomes more of a mental grind than anything else. And so I think in his retirement, that was one of the things that he spoke about. And that was one of the things that I could definitely agree with.
And Joshua, let's talk about that a little bit, because you and others have stepped away from football early in your career. You talked just about the mental anguish, but what was your experience like being in the league? I mean, did you feel that you had a choice, or were you also dealing with a lot of rehab and injuries?
Well, Tanzina, that's a really good question. I think for me, the biggest thing that I dealt with was the concussion aspect. And, you know, I was even having a conversation with a close friend and my girlfriend last night, and I was telling them that that last year, if I could have had an ACL tear, I would have absolutely wanted that to happen over another concussion because I knew I could rehab and come back through that. But the brain health question is something that's really strong. It's something that you have to really evaluate to see when enough is enough. For me, injuries piled up, but being a linebacker, you get back out there and you play the game. I think the hardest part is understanding how you're going to walk away and then what you're going to do after. And I'm thankful that I had, you know, great family background. My mom and dad are great earners on their own, so I'm not supporting them. You know, I've got two brothers who are very supportive and a girlfriend who I love who supported me as well. And it made it easy to step out of the game. There are other guys, they have families they got to worry about. They got to send money home, etc. And it's not so easy for them. And then the other thing, I graduated from Ohio State in 3.5 years, where a lot of guys enter the league, barely graduated or haven't graduated from school yet. And then they wonder what they're going to do when they step away from the game. So I think part of it is you're gripped by the financial aspect is, you know, you make so much money in one point and you're trying to capitalize off of that. You're trying to make sure you maximize that, where a lot of times your health becomes secondary and then you don't really feel it until it's too late. I think that's part of it too, is having the ability to see beyond, having the ability to understand that it's more of a long-term deal.
Buzz, I'd love to get your thoughts on what Joshua just said. I mean, in terms of a player's status, but also, you know, generally that status is also tied to what they get paid. Is it easier for higher paid players like Andrew Luck to retire early than someone who doesn't have a multi-million dollar contract and who might be supporting their family perhaps for the first time?
Well, you know, I suppose it's easier for Andrew Luck in the sense that he has a great cushion, but he's also leaving a lot of money on the table. I don't think money entered into the issue, as Joshua points out. Look, the average life of an NFL player is 3 years. You get $500,000. I think that's the starting salary as a rookie without bonus. It's not a very long shelf life. Joshua was smart because he went to school. He graduated in 3.5 years. I mean, let's face it. A lot of these guys, you know, college is the minor league system. And I get that. I mean, they're going to colleges to play football. They're not going to colleges to study, and they should be paid. But Andrew just said enough. I mean, you know, the fans booing him was disgusting. It's his body. It's his mental attitude. He owes the fans the ability to play his heart out when he wants to play. He does not owe the fans the ability to ruin his body and his mental health playing a game that, as he says, no longer has the magic. So how good would he be? And football is a really, really, really violent game. I like it because it's violent. People like it because it's violent. They don't like to admit to that because it's not politically correct. But if you watched Andrew Luck, he was getting bashed and battered, particularly, I think, 2015-16. There was a lousy offensive line. Every play, he was getting creamed. And he's big, and he's aggressive, and enough's enough. You know, what else do you need?
Joshua, I want to pick up on that with you because we heard at the top the fans booing Luck on the field after they learned he was retiring. There was a lot of chatter on social media about his retirement, and it was early. Were you surprised by the backlash from some of the fans? And being someone who's been on the field and played this sport in the NFL, what is it that the fans aren't understanding about the experiences of players like you and Luck?
I'm not surprised, and that's not to disparage any fans. I think it was egregious that they booed, but I just don't think that they could understand it from a level that a player does. The fans are so much in a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately mentality, and Luck did a great job last year. They were expecting him to come back and do it again, and they hadn't seen him all preseason. And I feel like there was a lot of frustration based off of the timing, but at the same time, who wouldn't be frustrated? Andrew Luck was frustrated that he had to cut his career short, too. It's so strange. I think fans oftentimes need to take a step back to understand by 29 years old, for a lot of these guys, you've been playing football for, you know, probably 20 years.
Well, and you've been probably fans don't care about the mental and physical health of athletes.
It's a shame.
That they don't care. They live in a bubble. If someone retires because of concussions, they don't say to themselves, oh my God, what is the future going to be like? They're saying, well, he's gone. Who's going to fill the shoes? So I don't think many fans really could give a flying crap about what Andrew Luck has been for. Fans are now worrying, who's going to come in? Is it going to be Jacoby Brissett? Are they going to get Eli Manning? Blah, 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 blah. Fans live in a bubble. They don't understand it on the field level. And, you know, he had another injury. I'm sure that affects your mental attitude. What is the injury? Am I going to be in rehab again? What is wrong with me? And it's got to play on your psyche.
I was gonna say, that's one of the hardest things. I mean, think about it. Your teammates are wondering why you're not out there. Fans are looking at you all kinds of crazy. And then for a guy that's had that many injuries, you're literally questioning, can my body actually stand up to the test of this game? And that's one of the hardest places to be in, because if you're questioning if your body can stand up, if you're questioning if you're built to play the game, you're going to struggle to actually get back out there and play the game at a high level. And that's a place where I've been mentally before. And like you said, people don't care. We are seen as entertainment. You know, we are seen as on-demand Sundays. I turn the TV on. You guys do what you're supposed to do. Entertain me. But there is a mental side of it that is dark, And we don't even really talk about it in locker rooms, let alone fans talking about it. But that is one of the biggest aspects of the game that I think needs to have a shift, and just a whole paradigm shift, is the mental anguish and then being able to talk about it where people don't look at you like you're soft.
I want to bring it back to a second because, Joshua, you mentioned earlier in the conversation that you had had concussions, and that was one of your biggest concerns. We know that there have been lots of concerns about brain damage that have deterred many parents even from allowing their kids to play football at early ages. But a lot of folks who still play the sport and who are being encouraged to play the sport are increasingly low-income Black and brown students. For them, I'm wondering, do the opportunities outweigh the costs, Joshua?
We emphasize in society and culture the wrong things for the wrong people. And it was easy for me to play football the way that I did. I came from a very middle-class upbringing. I always knew that I was going to be academics first. You know, Stanford was my second choice after the Ohio State University. And the only reason Ohio State was my number one choice is it was 30 minutes from where I grew up from. A lot of these kids get a dream, and their parents get a dream that, hey, make $1 million playing in the league. Well, first and foremost, $1 million ain't that much money when you really boil it down. But second off, it's not long money either. It's not something that you can sustain for a ton of years. And so I think there needs to be a little bit of a shift. But I also appreciate kids being in team sports and learning some of the lessons that you learn playing a tough, rugged sport like football. It pains me every time I hear a family talking about, you know, their middle or high school son is playing football and he's really good and he's going to be the next Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to be the next, you know, Phillip Rivers, whatever it is. And it's like, the odds are so slim. We need to prioritize what's important, and we need to also care for our bodies and our minds.
Buzz, what impact is this going to have, you think, on the NFL's drafting process or any process? I mean, are they going to start to take injuries more seriously, concussions more seriously? No, you don't say.
No, because it's a multi-billion dollar machine. It is huge money. It's not going to affect how they draft. I mean, this comes completely out of the blue. This is a singular case involving a very, very good quarterback. The problem with the NFL, I think, is that at a certain point, there's a tipping point where they dilute the game so much that it no longer has the visceral, physical violence that people want. That's what they face. They're continually trying to tinker with it and handle concussions. And by the way, you know, what happened to Andrew Luck has only happened in football for like a zillion years. You know, if you want to know what it's like to play football, go see Earl Campbell. You remember Earl Campbell? The great Tyler Rose, running back for the Houston Oilers, 250-pound, just a monster. Well, he walks with two canes because he can't walk anymore because of knees. Fans don't care about that. They only think about Earl Campbell when he was on the field. They only think about Joshua Perry when he's on the field. We sell a bill of goods. We've only been doing this for about 50 years to minority communities. This is the ticket out. I mean, look at sports pages. Where do you see minorities routinely praised as role models? On the sports page. Parents get this dream, my son is going to be this, he's going to be that, and they do not know that you have much better chances of becoming a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant than a football player or a basketball player. But as it was shown in Friday Night Lights, you know, you're extolled, you're treated special since literally now the age of 7, and then it ends. You remember Bo Jackson? When he got hurt, it's Bo who? It ends and you're done. And we talk endlessly about changing the paradigm and wanting these guys to concentrate on education. Well, I don't know how you can concentrate on education when you're practicing 2 hours a day, and that's just practice, game tapes, game plans, and they're there to play football. And Joshua knows better than I, but I think when you're playing Division I, I think every player, regardless of whether it's true or not, and it often isn't, they think they're going to be drafted, and they're not.
I want to jump in on that on both ends. The first end, where you talked about, does it change the drafting process? The only potential change I see, and it happened to me when I was going through the process, was they grill a guy who comes out of university with great grades, or they'll grill a guy that comes from a Stanford, a Princeton, a Northwestern, to see if they truly want to play football, to see if a couple of injuries isn't going to derail their career. And Andrew Luck's a little bit different because he made so much money as a quarterback. But again, a Stanford guy, you know, comes from a little bit of money. He didn't have to play the game. He didn't have to play the game to begin with, but at this point, he definitely didn't have to stay. But on the back end of that, I think part of the deal too, like you said, guys are getting coddled, they're getting patted on the back. But when you get into college, it becomes different because they tell you you're a student athlete. Student first, athlete second, but you schedule practice first and then you schedule classes second. And I think from the moment that a lot of these guys walk into their universities, regardless of if they become professional players, there's already a mindset shift for them where they're stuck in this mentality of becoming a professional athlete. They want to be this. And I've seen it to the point where guys, undrafted rookies, don't make a roster, and it's 3-4 years later and they're still training to try to make a roster. And it's because they're stuck on that dream. Emphasize other things. Learn what skills translate from football into the real world and be able to apply them. And we're not doing our athletes favors if we're not doing this from a young age.
Joshua Perry is a former NFL linebacker who played with the San Diego Chargers and the Indianapolis Colts. Buzz Bissinger is an award-winning journalist and author of the book Friday Night Lights. Joshua, Buzz, thank you so much for being with The Takeaway.
Hey, thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.